This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep. The commission investigating the September 11 attacks is making several recommendations this week. Among other things, it wants to create a director of national intelligence to oversee the nation's various intelligence agencies. Presidential candidate John Kerry says he favors that plan. The White House is withholding judgment on the idea, though President Bush says he is ready to reform the intelligence services. Three men who've actually led the intelligence community have their own opinions, and NPR's Mary Louise Kelly spoke to three former directors of the CIA.
Here's the way things work now. One person does two jobs. The head of the Central Intelligence Agency is also in charge of overseeing all 15 U.S. intelligence services. The question is whether one person, no matter how talented, can really do both. The 9/11 Commission has apparently decided no, and that the current arrangement leaves the intelligence community without a strong leader. That view makes perfect sense to Admiral Stansfield Turner, who spent 4 years in the job.
To have 15 agencies that spend $40 billion a year and nobody in charge, no CEO in charge of this operation, is ridiculous.
Turner headed the CIA from 1977 to 81. He says a central problem with trying to run the CIA and coordinate the work of all the other agencies and departments is there just aren't enough hours in the day.
When you are head of an agency like that, I can't tell you how much of your time is involved in giving out medals and promoting people and meeting with various delegations and such forth, because you're responsible for their morale, their welfare, their upkeep and so on. And you need to take that kind of a load off and have this director step back and say, where is his overall $40 billion activity going?
But the second ex-CIA chief we contacted completely disagrees. Robert Gates was director of Central Intelligence from 91 to 93.
The job's not too big for one person. After all, the Secretary of Defense has 2 million people reporting to him and a budget of $350 billion. So the notion that the job of managing the National Foreign Intelligence Program is too big for one person, I think, is kind of silly on its face.
Silly, and Gates argues, unrealistic. He says splitting the two jobs would end up making both positions weaker.
My great worry is that you would end up with some kind of a structure creating a director for national intelligence, separating him or her from CIA, and it would be like the captain standing at the top, at the helm of an aircraft carrier, trying to steer the thing with all of the cables connecting the steering to the rudder cut. He would have a nice title and no real authority.
This whole debate over creating a director of national intelligence, and intelligence czar, as some have dubbed it, isn't just an abstract inside-the-beltway reshuffling. It matters, because both the chair and the vice chair of the 9/11 panel have said the attacks could possibly have been prevented if intelligence sharing had been better. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice has testified that if anything might have stopped 9/11, it would have been better information sharing about threats inside the United States. Hence the push for a new intelligence director, someone with the authority to cut through turf battles and force the CIA, the FBI, the National Security Agency, the Defense Intelligence Agency, and all the others to cooperate. Jim Woolsey, the third former CIA director we spoke with, says he sees both pros and cons to the idea. He's now leaning about 60-40 in favor of creating an intelligence czar, with the major caveat that it not be called that.
This should not be a czar. That's probably the single stupidest word anyone could pick to describe a position like this.
Woolsey's problem with czar, he says, is that the czar model didn't exactly work out in Russia. Woolsey is open, though, to empowering and centralizing the leadership of national intelligence, in large part because he says the current setup hasn't really been revised since the CIA was created nearly 60 years ago.
The job of Director of Central Intelligence when it was created in 1947 was essentially the same job as being the head of the Central Intelligence Agency. The only other national intelligence really was an occasional report from the National Security Agency, which itself was brand new. Today, the CIA is, I don't know, maybe a sixth or so of the intelligence community, and several very large agencies. And I think it's probably a full-time job to coordinate that work.
Jim Woolsey, CIA director from 1993 to 95. All three former CIA chiefs we spoke with, Woolsey, Gates, and Turner, seem to agree on a couple of points. They all worry about the danger of making radical changes in the middle of the war on terror. And they all marvel at the wealth of resources that will be available to the next director of Central Intelligence. Both Gates and Woolsey cite money as the single biggest frustration of their tenures. They both ran the agency at a time when the threat of the Cold War was receding, and people were questioning whether there was a need anymore for a CIA. Woolsey remembers endless battles with Congress.
In 1993, my first year on the job, Congress was in session 195 days, and I had 205 appointments on the Hill. I was up there an average more than once a day. Probably three-quarters of that was undoing cuts that the Senate Intelligence Committee was trying to impose.
That's probably not a battle the next DCI will have to spend a lot of time fighting. The CIA's budget and overall intelligence spending have increased since 9/11. It's not clear exactly by how much, since the figures are classified. Robert Gates argues that more resources are already leading to improved performance at the intelligence agencies. That's one reason he opposes a dramatic change, like creating a new intelligence director.
After all, and I'm knocking wood here, it's been almost 3 years since September 11th, and there has not been a single successful terrorist attack on the mainland United States or on the 50 states. Clearly, law enforcement and intelligence are doing something right.
You've got to do more than just say, well, we're going to try harder.
Stansfield Turner. He's been advising the Kerry presidential campaign on intelligence issues, and he says he's confident that change, big change, is coming, and about time.
It's been 3 years, and we've really done almost zero to ensure we have corrected this situation. And that's frightening, and we've got the Director of Homeland Security warning us just in the last few days that there's something coming. And I don't think we're that much better prepared from an intelligence point of view.
Neither Turner, nor Woolsey, nor Gates believe there's a single cure-all for fixing U.S. intelligence services. They offer different explanations for why the CIA and others failed to predict September 11th, and why the pre-war estimates of Saddam Hussein's weapons capabilities seem to have been so wildly off the mark. On one final point, though, our CIA chiefs are unanimous: the timing of change. They all oppose restructuring in the middle of a presidential campaign, saying the temptation to stoop to political point scoring is too high. They also all argue that President Bush shouldn't rush to appoint a new director of Central Intelligence. Since George Tenet stepped down just over a week ago, White House officials have debated whether the times are too perilous to leave the CIA and the broader intelligence community in the hands of an acting director. Robert Gates, Jim Woolsey, and Stansfield Turner say that is, in fact, the correct decision for now. In a recent op-ed piece, Turner wrote, "There may be a political advantage to appointing a new director of Central Intelligence quickly." But he concludes, "Such considerations should not determine how we solve our nation's intelligence crisis." Mary Louise Kelly, NPR News, Washington.